Good morning, everyone. Great to be with you again this morning and looking forward to opening God's Word. Thank you for those who've been praying for me and heard about my ear after I left you 2 weeks ago, having mentioned I couldn't hear. By the time I got home, I was at the clinic finding out I had burst an eardrum and not sure why or what I did to deserve that, but yeah, I learned a lot of lessons along the way. And good news is, after many appointments, things are healing. It'll take time, as all things do, but the Lord has been faithful and gracious as always. And so this morning, we're going to look forward to opening the Lord's Word together. Before we do, why don't we give thanks to the Lord and just put our hearts and minds before Him. Lord, thank You that this morning we can come before You as a congregation, longing to learn, to know You, to hear Your voice, to experience Your strength, to acquire Your knowledge, to walk in the midst of Your glory. We thank You that You are a God who not only offers it, but looks to make it happen in Your strength, in Your time, in Your way. We know that Your ways are not our ways, but You are a loving Father, one whom guides and directs and shapes and molds His children according to Your good and great holy will. I pray this morning that as we open Your Word, we would be reminded of these things and again challenged in what it means to walk before You today, and that You would again open our hearts and minds and our ears to hear the things that are from You, and that we might cling to those alone, nothing more, nothing less. So again, we thank You for what You have for us in Your Word, and we put all of this before You in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, as we come together this morning, I'm reminded of when I was with you last. We were praying for those around the world suffering persecution. And one of the things that we looked at is that not that we often pray that persecution might fade or go far from those people, but rather that we might live in like manner, that those were people who had been stripped of all things. They had been left with nothing but the Lord, and in that way, we too need to live in such manner that we live as though we have nothing but the Lord. But what happens is we get caught up in the things of the world. We get caught up in the many things that we try to hold and protect and keep as valuable to us, when what we need to do is shed those things in hold of the only thing that is truly valuable, which is the Lord Himself. As we looked at those things, one of the things that we also mentioned was the very wind or storm that blows, that we may fear would blow out the lamp or the light, may actually be the fan that might fan the embers or the flames that might make it even burn brighter. Right? That when those things happen, when all things are lost, that it is then that we often grab hold of the Lord, who is our strength and the one who's grabbed hold of us. It is in these times that we need to live with that sense of purpose, not to escape the circumstances, but to live rightly in the midst of them. And this morning, as we're venturing towards this Advent season, as we look towards celebrating the coming of the Christ, I will be with you today, and then I believe next Sunday, our mutual friends from Cape and Ray are going to be here. Is that right, December 3rd? I think so. And then I'm going to be with you through the remainder of December to see through to the new year. And in doing so, I hope that we can look a little bit at purpose. This last week with my ear and many other things, not only do we have our own five children, but we have a good family friend, a friend that my wife went to boarding school with. A young lady has come to stay with us in our very small house. She has brought her own three-month infant and a small toddler. So now there are seven children and a few adults who are outnumbered greatly. I was experiencing dizziness, deafness. Then there's the chaos on the farm, right? We like to try and raise animals, many of them, in fact, all of them, free range. It's always this balance. Our chickens, I call them hippie chickens, because we're trying to let them be free, right? But there's this borderline between free and protected, because when they're free, this week I watched a beautiful red-tailed hawk come and take a chicken, one a day for a nice snack, and then you quickly realize your livelihood is flying away, and so now you've got to try and protect them, right? And so we have this netting that can go up, and we can move it around so they're free but protected. And somehow they broke through the netting, and so our hippie chickens got out, and so here I am in our barn, kids everywhere, chickens everywhere, right? Can't catch them. And there's moments where you start to think, why am I doing this? What's the purpose? Why am I here, right? And as we have those moments, we have to realize that there's moments in time where things aren't going our way. There's difficulties, there's trials, there's tribulations. The truth is, there's a moment you got to stop and say, why are we here? What is this for? If you remember that last Sunday, we looked at the fact that God, as a good father, disciplines those whom he loves. He's willing to go out of his way to actually shape, mold, and change the path. It told us that Jesus, in Hebrews, learned obedience through the things which he suffered. And so today, the purpose of my circumstances may be well greater than just what it seems on the surface. And as we venture towards this Advent season, I thought it appropriate, as I have the privilege of sharing a little bit in another church or two, to look over a few Sundays at the purpose of Jesus coming, as we're looking to celebrate that very thing. And as we look, Jesus was very clear in many ways on what his purpose was. When we look at it, on the surface, it seems simple. Jesus came to die, to pay for sins, right? And to make us right with God. Yes, that's true. But if we look at Jesus' ministry as a whole, we actually miss it because, in fact, if you look at the whole ministry of Jesus, the dying was actually a very small part. It's a major part. But think about it. How long did he live? 33 years, which culminated in a death and a resurrection. Yes, that was an important part, and it was the building point to where his ministry was going, to make us right with God. But that was part of the ministry. In fact, when Jesus came, there was more to it. And he tells us that in John in chapter 17, when he was standing before those accusing him. Listen, it says this, and I'm going to read in John chapter 17. It says this, John chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these things, lifting up his eyes to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. See, isn't that great? Here's Jesus at the end of his days. He knows his time is near, and yet as he speaks with the Father, he says this, I have fulfilled the task that you gave me. What was the task? For 33 years, it was to what? I have accomplished the work you've given me. Lord, glorify me. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me. And now, he says, they know you, and they know everything you've given me is from you. What was part of Jesus' purpose? His ministry for 33 years was to make God manifest, to show and declare God's glory. See, I always think that Jesus just came to pay for my sins. No, he would, but on the journey, before he would get there, God had given him a great task, and that task was the importance of manifesting the glory. Perhaps you remember when we've read together in John chapter 1, in which it told us that no one has seen God's face, and yet through the Son, he has explained him in the full. That was Jesus' purpose, that when he would come, that man and woman might know the glory of God, that his will, his way might be manifest on this earth, and that they might know the things of God. Jesus will go on, and in chapter 18, he'll go on to say this. Listen, standing before Pilate, he says, verse 36, Jesus answers him and says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Therefore, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is the truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no guilt in him." Did you notice? He didn't come to proclaim and make himself king. No, he said, "Listen, for this I was brought to this earth, but..." Notice, he says before him, "Listen, for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth." That was his purpose, to make God's glory manifest and to testify to the truth of God. As we look at our lives, and again, here's Jesus, blameless as Pilate stands before those accusing him. And though he could have looked at the many things, he knew that in the midst of this, he had a purpose. Yes, that purpose was going to lead something great. But in this moment, at this time, in this season, regardless of the circumstances, he knew what he was called to. To make God's glory manifest and to testify to the truth. Today, I think it's important because as we go through our lives and our circumstances, and as we come to acknowledge the coming of Christ, as we're going to celebrate this season, I think it's important because together, as we call ourselves the body of Christ, we remember what it means to live with purpose. As we've talked about before, in the midst of a time, I found myself, and now I always tell you of different people passing through, our latest helper who's now staying with us, a young Australian man who's just a joy to have around. I found myself trying to explain to him what Black Friday was. He looked awfully confused. But, right, in a time in which we're being told your purpose is to go out and get a good deal. Your purpose is to brag about it so your friends know you got a better deal than they did, right? Your purpose is to get everyone on your list the best gift, the better gift. The purpose is to make sure what? See, today, the purpose is not to escape the circumstances. The purpose is not to necessarily make the greatest income. The purpose is not to have the best reputation. The purpose is not to fill in the blank. What is the purpose that's overcome you? And be careful, because some of them are spiritual and look good on the outside, but can miss it on the inside. The purpose is to memorize the scripture. Not a bad thing, right? But when you get so caught up memorizing words about God, you can actually miss the God that they speak about. And we know the warning because the Pharisees did it. They saw this Christ coming. They saw him manifesting God's glory. They saw him proclaiming the truth and testifying to it, and yet they missed him when they spent their whole lives studying, looking for it. What's the purpose? And there's moments like this week where I'm sitting, kids in chaos, chickens around me, dizzy, and I gotta say, God, what's the purpose? In this moment, you're the body of Christ. I want you to manifest my glory. I don't know, still working out how to do that in the midst of chaos with kids and chickens. But I want you to manifest my glory, to testify to the truth. In fact, our purpose is incredibly simplistic, isn't it? I compound it, I change it, I manipulate it. In fact, many voices have a word in it, but the reality is we've been given that purpose. Listen to what Peter has to say about it in 1 Peter in chapter 4. And he's talking about suffering here. After talking about those disobedient and those who were saved in the time of Noah, he actually says in 1 Peter chapter 3, corresponding to that baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He then says this, chapter 4 in 1 Peter, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He who's led all the physical, and remember that word flesh, the outward, who's suffered, who's let it go to loss, has been freed from sin and ceased. It says this, verse 2, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. What's Peter saying here? Listen, arm yourselves with this same purpose as Christ did. And your translation might say, same attitude. He says, listen, the time has passed, sufficient for you to have carried out those desires, those fleshly lusts, the things of immaturity, the things of the past, the things that belong to the earth and not to the children of God. But listen to this. Verse 4 of chapter 4 in Peter. In all this, they're surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess. How do you surprise those around you? By arming yourselves with the purpose that is of God. By manifesting the glory and what? Testifying to the truth. As each situation comes, as each temptation arises, not to simply do what they would do or do what anyone might do, but to stop for a moment and remember, as a child of God with purpose, what it is he would have you do. That you might in that moment say, today I'm a child of God, I am here, and look at that list. Drunkenness, carousing, sensuality. I'm not here for this moment to please my own desires. I'm not here this moment to tickle my own comforts. What am I here for? the purpose of God to manifest his glory and declare the testimony of truth. That's what I'm here for. I'm not here to do what everyone else does, to enjoy drinking, parties, and abominable idolatries. I'm not here to worship what the world worships. I'm not here to work for what the world works for. I'm here to be an ambassador of Christ. As we begin to look forward to this great celebration of the coming of Christ, I hope that we could take this time and this Advent season to come and actually look deep at what our purpose is. And if I'm truthful with you, I wish I were the one to get up each morning and remember. But sometimes I get up, I run to this, I run to that, I run to that, the next thing, get the kids to school, get them here, get there, do the chores, and then somewhere in the middle it might be, oh yeah, what am I here for? As one friend often said, we were called to be human beings, not human doings. But often that's all I am, is a human doing. Doing the demands of the day, running here and there, trying to please and appease this person, that person. Trying to make an income or an outcome or whatever come. I'm just trying to get by. But in it all, forgetting my purpose. Forgetting that greater than all of it is the call to manifest the glory of God. That when people come to our farm, that they might see Jesus. Whether the chickens are in or out, loose, being eaten by birds, or whatever. Whether it's through my patience, kindness, love, generosity, respect, what do I hope? That they might see God's glory. Yes, they may see the chaos. Yes, and I believe every day God's showing me more and more just how broken I am and in need of him. Yes, they may even come and see my brokenness, my disorganization, my lost perspective at times. But in it all, my great hope is this, that they'd see God's glory. Likewise, when they come with questions, and notice here, as we read in John, that Pilate has questions for Jesus. Are you a king? That I might be one who not only shows God's glory, but testifies to the truth. Not hiding it, not masking it, but willing to declare it. That there would be a place in which people know. There's a place, people who know God's word. And when we came, we wondered after 20 years of Bible school, kind of inward Christian ministry. We called it in-house gospel. Why? Because we'd be ministering to people who are already Christians, right? Many of them, not all of them, were coming to know more about their faith. And after living a lifetime of that, and now moving to, Coombs area, and going, what now? And one of our first interactions, in fact, one of the first people we met in the process of moving to that place would come. And after learning who we were, what we had done, and what we were now doing, not believing in any of it, sat down and said, I've got a situation with my family. I don't believe in prayer. I know you do. Would you pray for me? See, there was a moment where even though in small interaction they had understood something, that was this, God's glory was there. And they might not even know this God, but that we were safe people to come to if they wanted to know about this God or seek this God. And that relationship continues. And the excitement is this. They were comfortable to ask and know. Not just run. And I'm sure there are people who've run. I would. Right? But Paul reminds us of this in 2 Corinthians, in which he says, your life will be an aroma. From some, it is from life to life. What does that mean? It will draw them in. But others, it will be an aroma from death to death. They are running from God, and when they catch a whiff of godliness in your life, what are they going to do? It's going to be a stench to them, and they're going to run even farther. And that's counting the cost. But as a child of God today, my mandate as the body of Christ, as Paul puts us, as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, the same attitude. Why? That those who have suffered have ceased from sin. As we look towards this time of celebrating Christ and his coming, have we come to a place where we can celebrate the fact that we are willing to live likewise, abandoning it all? Are you a king? Yes, but not of this world. He could have claimed it. Tempted to by Satan, amongst probably what was many others, he could have claimed it. But he gave it all for loss in order to obtain the greatness that was held for him from God the Father. Have you armed yourself with this like purpose? In likewise, has your truth and the manifesting of the testimony of that truth and declaring it become the purpose that dictates your life, dictates your day, your relationships, your conversations? Or do we get caught up in the gossip and the things that come about with the fleeting passions of the moment? What tickles the heart today? I hope that this morning we could be encouraged that as we begin to celebrate this Christmas season, we would look to the Lord, not just at what he would do and has done as we celebrate today. He's alive and made us live with him. But that we would also know as children of God today that we arm ourselves with like purpose. We never exalt the circumstances of those as we did that Sunday and prayed for those in persecution. And yet what we begin to exalt is their knowledge and intimacy with God in a time in which everything has been taken away and they are left with him alone. Have you come to that place? Or are you like me, keep running from it? I want to know him that intimately, and yet I don't want the way in which often it comes. I want to be a manifestation of the glory, of God's strength, of God's wisdom, but I don't want to look like the fool. I don't want to be pronounced as weak. I don't want all of the things that often are the vehicle through which that strength is shown. I want people to know Jesus, but I don't want to have that churchy guy reputation in the community. Do you see what I mean? Today, have you armed yourself with a purpose? And if we do, it's allowing God to whittle away and often take away those things that are excess. And many of them, the ways of the world, the carousing, the drunkenness, the parties, the abominable idolatries, the lusts, the sensuality, all things that feel good in the moment. And perhaps today for the world, things that make you somebody in this society. But for the greater glory and the greater good, today, he longs to lift you up as he did his own son, that they might know him. Won't it be a wonderful thing if we too could come to that point and place when we come to the end of our days, as Jesus did, and say, God, I fulfilled your mandate. I made your glory manifest. I declared the testimony of your truth. Or on that day, will I be ashamed to say, I hid it under a bushel and let it out for small peaks to the right people at the right time, at the right place, under the right circumstances that suited me. God wants us to be all abandoned for him. And yet often I am holding back or holding on to something in this world that stands in my way. And so this morning, as God has been challenging me, I can only share with you that same challenge, and that is to arm yourselves with that purpose. That is to live as Christ lived, not to copy his actions, but the heart, the attitude, the will, and the way to see God displayed to a watching world. Let that be our aim this Christmas season. More than the gifts, the cards, the wrapping, and all the rest that comes with it. Let the world know that Jesus is King. And often more so, by the way that you live, will it be seen than the words that you could ever speak. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that this morning we can open your word and be challenged. That as you came, there were many things. You would die. You would pay a price. You would conquer death. You would defeat sin. And yet for 33 years, a mandate was given that the world might know the glory of God, that it would be displayed in the words that were said, in the way that you lived, in your open reliance and ability to give yourself wholeheartedly to the Father, even unto death. I pray this morning that we would be challenged in like manner as children of God, the body of Christ, to be exactly that. Those who would be testifying to the truth. Those who would allow you to speak through them, loudly, clearly, never hidden, boldly. And that today, we would let the things of this world fade away, that we might know the glory and the eternal greatness of our God. Thank you for all this, and you make it all possible through the life of your Son. Not just an example, but a way through which we can live and attain the unattainable. Forgive us where we fall short. Strengthen us where we are weak. Be our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our lips to speak, that we might be your vessels to shine this light. In Jesus' name, amen.